Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Isaiah 55, and let's read together verses 6 through 9, and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way this morning. Amen. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your awesome power. We thank you for the worship this morning. We thank you for all things, oh God. And now, Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine. Jesus, Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine. Saints of God, this message was birthed this week only because there were things in my life that I thought I was doing the right things. I was doing walking the right path, but I found out that God had to avert me. Why? Because His ways are better than mine. Hallelujah. And we're going to see this in Scripture. Let's read together Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. And it reads, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His word. You may be seated. Saints, right here on the screen, I wrote up here, sometimes we might wander or wonder why a plan of ours doesn't turn out as we had hoped. How many of you had made plans and for some reason it didn't even get off the ground? Huh? Or in the beginning of it, it crashed and burned and it did not come into fruition. As believers, as Christians, we have to understand that we are now led by the Spirit of God. Can I get amen? Amen? And because we hear the Father's voice, we hear God speaking to us, we are to now incline our ear unto Him. We are to trust the Lord. We are to say, God, Your ways are better than my ways. And I've made so many wrong turns in my life. I could be up here forever telling you the wrong turns. And God had to put me back on that path of His, because I found out that His ways are better. And so, saints, we are careful to think about every step that we take and find out the ones that worked and that didn't work, and was God in it or was He not in it. And so one possible reason is that we foolishly left God out of our plans instead of relying on Him, the one who knows everything and has all power. We depended on our own knowledge, understanding, and resources to determine what we wanted to accomplish, where we desired to go, and how we would complete the plan. Now, here's an example. Last week, remember, we spoke about Noah? And one of the things that God did is after He cleansed the earth, okay, then Noah and his family, God said, now multiply the earth and replenish it. And so out of the eight that were survived, the world started to again replenish itself with humanity. But here we go again. Because after the world was cleansed, there was still one factor that was not changed yet. And the human race back then still had a sinful nature. They were still imperfect. And even though God had to destroy the wickedness and the evil of that day because it was so violent. It was so lustful and there was so much idolatry and iniquity. He had to cleanse it. We all know that. So let's look what it says right up here in Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. This is Genesis 11. And this is after God started to replenish the earth. It says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. Okay? So this is where they set up camp. Verse 3. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So now they're conjuring up their own plan. None of them check with God. Hey, God, is it okay if we build a tower so that we can go up there and fellowship with you? They had no clue how far God is away from them. They thought he was just above the cloud line. How foolish mankind is sometimes, huh? Okay? And so look, it says in verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city of the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. In other words, these guys, they got their own agenda, and no one's going to tell them what to do. So God said, I have to do something about this. Why? Because it's all going to start all over again, and God knew it. This is why, if you get a hold of this, that even before Jesus and God spoke the world into existence, he already in his mind slew the Lamb of God for us. Because God knew that we're imperfect beings. Can I get amen? There's flaws in us. And so look what God and his angels and everyone in heaven had to do in verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So God had to come, man, and all of a sudden they were like, and they couldn't understand each other. He had to baffle their language. Why? Because if he didn't do that, they would be in one accord still building that tower. So how can you send out orders and I don't even know what you're saying? Look at this. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel. You ever heard someone just babble on? Blah, 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 blah. Man, put a sock in that. Okay, I only know people like that. Therefore, it is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over what? The face of all the earth. He had to do that. Why? Because they had their own agenda. They said, oh, God, we got this. We're going to build a tower to come up and speak to you when we want to. Yeah, right. That's why God had to come down. He had to take care of business again, right? Saints, after the flood, the Lord has specifically told Noah and his sons to do this. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. God said to do that, but he didn't tell them to build a tower. That was being rebellious. That was leaving God out of the plans. And sometimes we find ourselves leaving God out of the plans. And the next thing we know, it's all babble. Blah, 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 blah. But their descendants gathered on the plain of Shinar, and they settled there, saying, look at this. We just read this. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So they had an agenda. Saints, although God had made it very clear that he wanted mankind to fill the earth, the people at Babel decided to make their own plan, disregarding the Lord's instructions. And so in response to their rebellion, God confused their language so they could no longer communicate with each other and to build that ungodly tower. Just imagine if they, how high it would have went. It probably would have collapsed in the first storm that would come. And so as a result, his will was accomplished, and they were scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And sometimes, saints, we act as foolishly as the people of Babel when we fail to consider what God would have us to do. So here's a biblical account. I love this story. Some of you have read this. Some of you, maybe the first time, never saw this in Scripture. But this took place in the book of Acts. And the apostles were laying hands. Man, devils were flying out of folks. People were being healed. And there was onlookers that saw, hey, we can do this too. And so there was some copycats, religious folks, trying to use the things of God. And yet they had no relationship with God. In other words, God was not in their plans. And look what happened here. Let's look at this. In Acts 19, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So God was using the apostles and the disciples mightily. I'm here to let us know that Jesus said, as he left, he said, greater are the things that you will do when I depart. And for 2,000 years, God has poured out his spirit upon his people. Can I get an amen? And God has empowered us to lay hands on the sick. Man, yesterday was a wonderful day for me. I was asked to go pray for a guy that was my enemy in high school. His name was Carlos Torones. And he's dying of cancer. I went to his deathbed yesterday at 11 o'clock, shared the gospel, ministered to him. We all cried. Victor Valdez was there, his best friend since he's known. And it was such a wonderful moment that we had. I spent a good hour with him ministering to him. I gave him healing scriptures to listen to. I even told him, man, God will raise you up. Get on this macrobiotic diet and, man, just cleanse your body. Right now, God just cleansed your soul. Now you need to cleanse your body now. And God's going to raise you up, man. I left there knowing that he had hope. And we are to bring the hope, hallelujah, of the gospel. Can I get amen? We are to bring life where there's death. Can I get amen? Well, we see in this story that there was these wannabes, these name tag believers that wanted to do the things that the apostles and the disciples wanted to do. But look how this story went out. Why? Because God was not in their plans. So look at this. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. So here is these folks, have no unction of the Holy Ghost, have no fraction of the Holy Ghost, don't even know who Jesus is, but they saw them preaching in Jesus' name. And so they said, oh, so this is the magical formula. Let's just go ahead and do this. Man. Look at this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? The devil came out and said, who are you? Let me say, man, there's a real devil. Can I get an amen? And he's got real dominions, his little homies that hang around him. And all they want to do is bring mischief. They want to tempt you. They want to remove you from your call. But this demon spoke out. He says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man whom the evil spirit was, look at this, leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Man, if someone roughs you up and take off all your clothes and you got to sprint home. I remember that happened back in the day. I wonder what spirit was working then. But God was not in their plans. And so when you do things without God, is it okay? Is this your will? Is this where you're sending me? Is this my assignment? And when God confirms it in your spirit, this won't take place. Can I get amen? Because God will send his angels and prepare the way. Just like when I ministered to carnals, God already knew that I was coming in faith. He prepared his heart. He did the sinner's prayer, man. He was weeping and crying. We laid hands. The Spirit of God fell on this. And he goes, I want to get baptized in your jacuzzi. I said, amen. I said, when we get back, hallelujah, I'll make sure we take care of God's business. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, this devil tore him up. Man, don't you ever get tore up by the devil. And if you do get torn up by him, it's because God was not in that plan that you were in. Thank you, God. See, saints, Jesus is willing to guide our choices, direct us into the will if we ask him beforehand and before we move on our own. Can I get amen? His plans for us are so much better than anything that you and I can derive and devise. If we claim that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord, we should consult him regarding every decision. I know some precious saints from the past, from other fellowships that I still in contact with. And man, they got a stew in their soup that they cooked because God was not in that plan. Some of them left the church and went and got married to an uncircumcised Philistine and suffering now because God was not in that plan. Oh, yeah. You reap what you sow. Can I get amen? This message today is that we would take heed to God's voice and that we would line up to God's word. That is what's called fail-proof. God will not fail us. God will always be with us when we include him in our plans. Can I get amen? Look, for a year and a half, we've been praying about this trip. This is the will of God that we go. We just didn't say, oh, we're going. We decided to do this yesterday. Man, it took some praying. It took some time. And said, God, bring in the provision. And man, he did it. He did it. There's some on the, going on this trip didn't have a dollar in their purse. Come on. Amen. 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 But listen, what God wants us to really take heed to this morning is found in Proverbs. Some of you, listen, some of you have it on your Bible, maybe on your refrigerator door, but this is not cliche. This is what God is saying. Mean it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Walk in it. Understand it. And gravitate to his word. Can I get an amen? So we know this scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? And he shall direct your paths. The Bible says further, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Oh, yeah. But you, if you're leaving God out of certain areas in your life, you're setting up a recipe of disaster. I will share it like this. You know, I don't see it in the Word of God where it says, stop smoking those Marlboros. But I do have a scripture that says, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, don't put no unclean thing in you. Can I get an amen? That's right. We deceive ourselves and go head on and all the way. You'll just get to heaven sooner than us. I kind of still want to enjoy it down here a little bit. I want to see my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I want to see them get raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There's still souls to be saved. Can I get amen? Amen. Not when you're slapping yourself upside the head with all these things. Saints, Jesus loves us. He understands our weaknesses. He knows what's best for us. Can I get amen? And how to accomplish it. And he can save us from the pain and trouble that could result from following our own self-directed path. We opened up in scriptures, his ways are higher and better than our ways. Can I get amen? So when he directs our way, he ensures that everything works according to his will. Why? Because he has the power to accomplish it. It's his power, not ours. We don't have no power other than what he has given us to lay hands on the sick to recover and to walk a holy life. Can I get amen? Amen. We're not to abuse that power. We need God's guidance for every area of our lives. Can I get amen? Amen. We need his grace, his mercy for what? Financial decisions, marriage decisions, business decisions, education, or anything that concerns our life. Can I get amen? Learn to walk in his ways, and he, hallelujah, will direct your path. Now let me get your attention up here. The consequences of leaving God out of our plans. We're going to look at some consequences. When we fail to include them in our plan. Number one, look at this. We can't claim God's promise of provision and protection if we don't include them. I've heard, I can go to the club, man, and I can go preach in there. Oh, yeah. The next thing, you'll be rolling out with someone in your arm. I thought I came in here to do one thing. I'm coming out here to do another. You know why? Because there's a den of devils in there. And they will overpower you. They'll be like those spirits that tore up that man. Now you've gone into the enemy's camp. That's right. Saints, God doesn't give us the assistance and power to accomplish what's not according to his will. Can I get amen? But if you're walking in his ways, if you're leaning unto the Lord, then the scripture will apply to us. Just like right up here. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. If God has delivered you, why are you going back to that vomit? He's going to withhold his blessings now upon you. He will take the angels away from you because of your rebellious heart. God is saying, man, be steadfast in him. Walk in his ways and watch your life be fruitful. How many want to live a fruitful life? That's right. This is what this message is all about, that our thoughts are much lower than his thoughts are. We need to incline and be connected with him. Can I get amen? Look at this other scripture. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Can that be us saying that to God? Look at this. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Man, thank you, God. That's what happens when you line up your your will to God's will. Now, look at number two. We can't honestly ask the Lord for his blessing if he's not included. Come on. It's only common sense 101 here. If we're going to go have a Burger King life, having it my way, and say, no, God, you're not part of this plan. And then, how come I'm not being blessed over here? Because you didn't check in with him. Saints, the goal is to pray for guidance. Can I get an amen? Not to make up our minds and ask God to bless what we've planned. As children of God, we belong to him. Can I get an amen? And he's committed to guide and provide for us. But not always is the way that makes immediate sense to us. Listen, sometimes when God is leading you somewhere, it doesn't make sense. It's like, it just don't make sense. Why? What? You want me to go down to those houses in Tijuana that are falling apart to preach the gospel? It don't make sense. And yet there's precious souls waiting to hear the gospel to be saved. Jesus, help us. It don't make sense. Oh, why should I risk it? Man, my car might fall off the cliff. And did you know that the angel of the Lord's hand is right with your car? Taking you there and bringing you back. Come on. It never fails. I remember our first trip to Israel. You really going there? Oh, all I see is army tanks. Lord, after our first trip, we were going, oh my gosh, if only they were here to see what we saw. See, I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. They went into the promised land, right? And they saw. And they came back and gave a good report. Hallelujah. But the other 10 came back with a bad report. And God had cursed them. My goodness. I want God to say, well done. Amen? Thank you, God. Look at this right up here. Number three, the absence of God in our plans limits the possibilities of whatever we do. Whatever we do. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, so flee youthful passions to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a what? Pure heart. Now you're walking in his plans. Now you're walking in his ways. Because if your agenda is muddied up with your own plans that don't include him, then the rest of it is left to your own demise. Saints, the Lord's will for our lives is far more profitable for us than anything we could devise apart from him. How we make decisions is important because we face choices every day. We all make a choice every day. Can I get amen? And the only way to make them, saints, is according to God's will. And it's to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that we have a teacher and he guides us? He speaks to us. Every now and then you'll feel him come upon you like no other. The unbeliever can't experience the things we do. They have no clue. God's plan is not something we can come up with on our own understanding. Can I get amen? I'd rather follow him and believe him. Look at this. Leaving God out of our plans reveals our pride. And if we choose to walk in pride, and I know some folks, when I attended Mission Valley, when I attended North Park Apostolic, even pastoring Amazing Grace, I've seen some folks leave in pride and never came back to say goodbye. Pride, why? Because what happens with pride? Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before our fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Why do you want to share some things with prideful people? I'd rather share the things of God with you. Why? Because you love the Lord. And you're walking in a spirit of humility. Amen. And you love Him and you praise Him and you worship Him. But there's some folks, man, all they want to do is berate you, belittle you, speak negative about you. That's not of God. That's all pride right there. That's all pride. How shameful it is to walk away from your family without saying goodbye. That is shameful. It's disgraceful. Look at this. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Keep me humble before you, God. Keep my heart always in check with you, God. Oh God, never let my heart lift upon another. And that you would give me the compassion and the grace to, no matter what comes our way, that we would handle it through the wisdom of God and through the meekness and humility of the Spirit of God. Look at number five here. If we don't seek God's guidance, we may choose less than He would have provided. Oh, how many of you want His best? I want God's best. And by the grace of God, I only boast in Christ. In the 20 years that Yolanda and I, we've been married, everything that we have asked God according to His will, He brought it to pass. But it was specifically to glorify Him and to magnify Him. And He has supplied all of our needs according to His riches and glory. So we may look at a situation and think we know what's the best option. But if we wait on the Lord, He may lead us to something better than what we had chosen on our own. Can I get amen? Man, I'd rather choose God. I'd rather choose Him. I'd rather say, God, lead me, guide me. Lord, I want to make sure that this is Your will and not my will. And so, saints, to receive God's best, we must ask for His direction regarding what we do, why, or when we do it, and how to accomplish it, because He will lead us. Now, this is the part that the rubber meets the road for all of us, including me. But there are consequences, results of disobeying God. There are. And how many would rather be in obedience to Him? Can I get amen? The best way we can. Listen, we're not going to be perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Because He's perfect, He can allow us to strive for perfection. We're never going to be perfect down here on earth. None of us will. We all have faults, failures, and flaws. But it is His righteousness that covers us by faith. It is the blood that washed away our sins. Can I get amen? It is the Spirit of God now that lives within us. And now we can walk in His ways. And not to boast about ourselves, but to boast in Him. Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for what You're doing in my life. Thank you, God. Listen, because if we fall in disobedience in the will of God, look what takes place. Number one, confusion. When you're walking out of the will of God, confusion sets in. Let's look at this. We'll start to question our decision and wonder if we made a wrong choice. God's actions at the Tower of Babel demonstrate how He brings confusion when we make decisions apart from Him. Not only were their plans frustrated, but God accomplished His will despite them, as they scattered over the face of the earth. Man, that's the last thing I wanted, to be scattered. I want to be lined up with Him. Can I get amen? Amen. Look what else happens when people walk outside of the will of God. Conflict will take place. Oh, you dirty rat. Why did you do that? Come on. Oh, yeah. Man, we'll just start going, what up? It's easy to fall in that, isn't it? Flesh, you know, flesh wants to rumble. It does. Man, as soon as you say something wrong, what? What? You said what? We'll experience internal conflict when the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of uneasiness, inadequacy, and doubt over the course of our action. No, none of you ever involved yourself in a situation like this. As a saved brother and sister. Huh? The flesh is weak. But this is why we need Jesus. We need God. Amen? Hey, I shared this last week. The reason why God reminds us of these things, because if you could tell me what you did Thursday at 9:47 a.m., man, you got a great memory. Good luck. Yeah, good luck what you did at 9:47 a.m. Thursday morning. We got to be reminded. Can I get an amen? God, by being reminded, God strengthens our faith every day. I don't want to be strengthened last month. I'll forget what I did yesterday. Look, there's a cost to pay. There's a cost to pay when you walk out of the will of God. Disobedience is always costly when we don't do the right thing in the right time and in the right way. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about us no more. Because whatever I say, it reflects to me too. I'm not immune. It's for all of us. Can I get amen? Also, we'll experience loss. I don't want to lose anything what God has given me. Can I get amen? Amen. I want to keep everything that God has given me. Why? So I can worship and praise Him and adore Him and magnify Him and share the gospel with others and let them know there's hope for you. I don't want to lose anything. But we will experience loss at some point in our lives, whether emotionally or physically. My dear brother, who I prayed for, his liver condition came from a life of drinking. And when you overdrink for 40 years, that's bound to happen. But there's still hope. There's still hope. This is what I love about God. Yeah, yeah, you've done it to yourself, but let me now take over. Amen. Let me take over now. You've done it all by yourself, the way you wanted to live. And you know what that brother told me as I ministered to him? He says, I've been a prideful man all my life. He goes, I'm nothing. See, that's where God wants you, right there. That's where God can now do the miraculous, when you surrender everything to Him. When you say, I can't go any further without you. That's when I need you the most now. And His grace, that's where His grace, He walks over our faults. He walks over all of our mistakes. He walks over our failures. He says, okay, now I'm going to straighten up your life. I hope you know we're all Humpty Dumpties. We are. He's patching us all up. Some of us had some great falls. Huh? And some of you, he's still looking for that little piece he needs to put there. Jesus, help us. Look at this. And then there's regret. Man, you know, that's one of the things emotionally we go through is we do something out of the will of God and then we regret it. You know why? Because he brings it back to recall. God chooses the best direction, time and way. Therefore, if we go in an opposite direction, don't wait for his timing or to do it our way. We will miss his best and suffer deep regret. Hallelujah. I want everything to be lined up with his will. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus, you're awesome. Jesus. Number six, look at this. We'll suffer pain. That's an owie there. Some of us cry when we get poked in the finger. Oh, I'm bleeding. But when you suffer great pain, and then we could look in the mirror and we said, I did it to myself. Then God comes in with this healing balm and he heals us emotionally and physically. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, that's the God we serve. But why go there when we don't have to? That's my question. Why go there? Why set yourself up for that trap when we just follow God and he will bless our life? Can I get an amen? Look at the pain. We may experience physical pain as a result of our disobedience. But the worst pain is that which is emotional. As we look back at our choices, we'll be filled with thoughts of, if only I'd done this or not done that. Well, we've been there, done that, huh? Oh, yeah, we've been there. Some of you, God is bringing you through the fire. I've been through the fire. I don't like it. But you know what? That's where he can get the dross off you. That's where all those things that have been attached for many years, he can now just purify you as you go through the fire without being burnt. Thank you, God. Look at this disaster. Disobedience brings disaster. It could come to us financially, emotionally, or in countless other ways, but the result of disobedience is always disastrous because we didn't follow the Lord. And lastly, when you don't allow God to discipline you, that's the one. When God wants to correct you, and you don't want the discipline of the Lord, you will run out of the will of God. No one wants to be disciplined. Listen, a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, when you try to discipline them, they think you're so angry and hostile toward them. So this is why I always say it like this. For those of you that have children, grandchildren, every now and then you have to take what? The Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. Okay, but after you've done that, now give it a little time, and then you reconcile them back to you. And you let them know, I had to do this, but you assure them that you love them. And they will gravitate to you. And they will learn those things, those do and don'ts that you require of them as they grow. I shared this many times. I'll share this right now. When I was at North Park Apostolic Church, Bishop Trout, when he was 9 years old, what he told me, man, it still resounds in my heart. You know, his mom would carry a switch. You know what a switch is? Man, it was about so long, he said, and it was cut off from a fishing pole. So when that thing came, man, it would put a welt on your leg. He told us he was 9 years old, and every time he would just aggravate her and do things that he shouldn't have done. Here comes mama. And he would run and he would catch the last force of it. Whap! So he figured out something real quick. He figured out something real quick. He said that when it came to a point where every time I run further, it hurts even more. So what he learned is he ran to her and he locked onto a leg and she didn't have that force no more. And then after he was crying and pleading mercy, she dropped it and picked him up and started ministering to him. He shared that is because every now and then when we do something wrong, we want to run away from God instead of running to him. When we run to God, that's where we find mercy and grace. That's where we find the loving Father there to pick us up. And it's not as bad as if we ran from him. Listen, Brother G knows, we used to get hit with belts. We used to get hit with all kinds of broomsticks. Rice, we used to kneel on rice. I always thought, man, what? How barbaric was that? I'm still trying to figure that one out. Wow. But we had to go through. But there's no one to blame. We would just run amok. Oh, nowadays, we need to call the authorities. Yes, child protection. Hey, sometimes we needed it. I'm not gonna hold that to my dad because we were rebellious. And you know, yeah, he may not have had wisdom, but he was doing the best that he knew to try to get us in order, to line us up right. As soon as he left the work, we started all over again. All 11, hey, we lived in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home, and 11 of us. On one salary, and he was only an E4. For those of you that know the pay scales of the military, he was only an E4. We was eating beans and tortillas. What I loved about growing up, though, you know how there's 4 burners to a stove? On one side, my grandmother would make beans and tortillas, and over here we have chicken adobo. We had the best of both worlds.
That's right.
I'm not complaining. And here's the thing. When it was time to eat, you better be there.
Oh, yeah.
There was going to be nothing left for you. We had a sprint. Man, some of us would be playing football on the street. We drop the ball. It's time to eat. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you guys didn't grow up any way like that, right? Probably not. Hey, there were some things we went through, huh, Brother G? We went through some things. Yeah, man. Some of us need to be reminded. But God pulled us through. Man, that was going through the fire there. Oh, yeah. But you know what? I love them till this day. My dad is 92, going to be 93. And before my mom checked out, she gave her heart to Christ. The Holy Ghost fell on her. And you know what God has done for us? That maybe you weren't raised in the faith. Maybe your parents never sowed into you the gospel. But don't blame them, because their parents didn't do that, and the parents before them didn't do that. So God has given this generation to go back to the fathers, to go back to the mothers, and sow it into their life. That's what he's doing right now. He's doing a beautiful thing. And don't give up praying for your loved ones. There's 11 of us. I believe 3 are walking in faith right now out of our 11 brothers. Pray for all the other. We're praying, Lord. Lord, touch them. And a lot of times, and I'll close with this, unfortunately, because of our nature, because the country we have grown up in, you know, this is a very wealthy nation. Very wealthy. And none of us have been, God has provided for us, and we've never been deprived of anything. Come on. If you grew up here, you had your meals. You've had shelter. You had clothing. God has always provided some way or another. But God has shown me that all those that we're praying for, friends, family members, and all that, unfortunately, the only way they're going to come is when calamity hits. Then they're going to run to the house of God. You know why? They're going to remember everything you said to them. And now they're going to, man, I need to get my life right now. And guess what? We're going to be there with open hands, open arms. Oh, come on to the house of God. Hallelujah. We've been waiting for you. Hallelujah. We don't have to judge them. God already has judged. Can I get amen? We are to love them now. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all equal at the cross. Hallelujah. And they need Jesus just as much as we need him every day. We just happen to know him. And one day they will know him too. And they will know that he is good. That he's long-suffering. Hallelujah. That he's patient with humanity. Aren't you so blessed he doesn't beat us on the head and grabs us by our ear? I remember my dad used to grab us by our ear. Especially when it came for a haircut time. You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to grab my ear no more. My barber is Dr. Schick. He takes care of my head. But we serve a mighty God, amen? Listen, I'm going to miss all you in these next week or so. I am. Because I love you guys, and you guys are just an awesome congregation. We've been so blessed to sow into your lives and pray that God will continue to allow us to sow into your lives, amen? Because all we want to see, when it's all said and done, that Jesus will be standing at the gate, and every one of us, one by one, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what our agenda is. If there's any agenda, is that we all make it in. Can I get an amen? That we all make it in. There's no isms and schisms. Hallelujah, man. Let other folks operate like that and shake you upside down and take five collections. Well, it's not about that. It's about we prepare our hearts to meet the King. Hallelujah. And he's going to take care of everything. Hallelujah. So I leave us with these questions. Number one. Oh, first of all, we shared this scripture. Trust in the Lord. Amen. With all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So number one, when you are making plans, do you ask the Lord for guidance? Come on, maybe today. Maybe it starts today. Maybe he says, you know what? I got to include you, God. Everything I've done without you, somehow it doesn't work out. I don't know what it is. Well, we just found out this morning. You left God out. Number two, what situations cause you to remember to ask him for direction? What situations do you find yourself in? All I'm going to say this, for those of us that are married, stay pure and holy before God. Those of you that are single, stay pure and holy before God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Walk with purity. Walk with a sincere heart. Walk with God, knowing that he is your all in all. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And let me just say this. I know sometimes it's unpreventable at times. But when you have people rolling up to you and all they're doing is just gossiping, put them in the track and say, let's pray for that person. Don't get caught up in all the garbage. Can I get an amen? Just say, hey, you know what? Hold. Let's slow your roll right now. Hold on. Let's just pray for that person. That person is probably hurting. And you're bathing them with your tongue. Let's just pray for this person. That God will take that person further with him. And then that God would also guard our tongues. Amen. Yes. Can I get amen? Amen. Come on, this is for us. This is for all of us. We got to watch out what we say about one another. Can I get amen? Amen. So what situation called you? Remember to ask him for direction is, hush my mouth sometimes, God. Don't let me say anything negative about anybody. Because I'm no better than them. Which decisions do you usually make on your own? This is for all of us to just do self-inventory. Because every one of us has those areas. Can I get an amen? Your area is different from mine and vice versa. But it still applies to all. What hard lessons have you learned from leaving God out of your plans or jumping ahead of him? Oh, there's some testimonies in here already. Man, I found out when I got married, he doesn't own a toothbrush. You know, I'm just joking, but hey, we've made plans without God. Can I say that? So before you fall off the cliff, check with God. Or Lord, are you going to let me fly to the other side? Not here on earth. Number five, what blessings have you enjoyed as a result of seeking his guidance and following him in obedience? I could just share, many of you can share all day long what God has done for you. Huh? Come on. We all have a testimony. We all can share the things of God. We all, man, can say, look what God has done for me and what he can do for you. And so I'm praying right now for those that are here that maybe are struggling in little areas, and we don't need to know about them. God already knows about them. All he's saying, man, give me that. Give that to me. And I have a better way. I have a better plan. And I will make things better for your life if you just give me those things and let me do the great exchange. So he takes those black things, dark things in our heart, and then he gives us a heart of flesh, a purity from him. And then we can honor him and we can praise him. We can glorify him. Thank you, God. And so maybe, just maybe you're here, or maybe you're listening. I shared with JP and with Sister Tammy this morning, there are so many people downloading our messages, Russia, China, Czechoslovakia, all those areas. People are downloading these messages from this little corner here. And that's why we're here. That's why God keeps the doors. He keeps it open for us, but there's other people listening by the grace of God. And listen, if only one gets saved, it was worth it all. Amen. It was worth it all. So let's pray right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm praying for someone that may be here right now or listening. And God, maybe they're struggling in areas in their heart right now. Maybe, God, maybe, just maybe. There's someone that's never given their heart to you, never been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, just pray right now. Pray with me. Let God work mightily right now in your life. He can do a better job than we can. Can I get amen? So pray this prayer first. I'm praying for the ones that need salvation right now. Then I'll pray for us to strengthen us. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, Lord. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give them a shout of glory in the house. Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, God. We magnify you, God, in the name of Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2.com. amazing-grace-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.